All right. My name is Joseph. I'm an addict. I'm an addict from Denver, Colorado. My area is the Mile High area. My home group is This Ain't Therapy. We meet 5 days a week at noon. That's been my home group for about 20 years, and it's probably the best home group anywhere. And so if you get out to Colorado, I just want to let you know, stop by, see us. And, wow, Cherie, thank you very much. And there's a whole lot of things that coincide with these two IPs. And I wrote a couple of notes here, so I'm going to go through this real quickly. Thank you. That before our basic text was printed and distributed, there was a great need for printed information about who we were and what we're about and what we believe. And I'm a member of this deal. Sometimes I introduce myself as Joseph IR because I are. And Narcotics Anonymous has provided an opportunity for me to be alive. I don't know about you guys. I wouldn't have made it. So the deal was is that as we travel this path of misinformation, there were people, our predecessors, that sat down and formulated some ideas of what Narcotics Anonymous believes. And I can remember back in the day when treatment became popular and people in my neighborhood was talking about people, well, they go take the cure. They go take the cure. I don't know if you guys use it, spin dry, whatever the case may be, shake and bake. You know, you go someplace and you come back and you're different, right? Right. So, on the way down to this convention, my friend stopped to buy an electronic device to plug into a cigarette lighter. And what this device does is allows various other electronic devices to function more than one at one time. It is called an adapter. An adapter, okay? And I'm saying this for a reason, because I'm so grateful that there were folks struggling with the disease of addiction that realized that we needed an adapter and something that makes a message that's similar work for me and hopefully work for you guys out there in the audience. We're not stepchildren, okay? We stole some stuff and changed it. Straight up. Because, you know, the whole thing, back to the chicken and egg kind of thing, well, was it the drug that caused me to go crazy and act like I was acting, or was I crazy before the drug? And the drug only made it more fun. And the real deal is that, you know, through personal experience in my life, man, I had a... See, when you got in the car with me, you were in. If you got out, you would never get in again. There is no such money as rent money, house note money, bill money, tuition. No, there's only one kind of money, package money. And when that ran out, if you were not willing to do what we had to do to get more package money or the package, you would never ride with me again, ever. And so that took me some places. That took me some places. And, you know, it wasn't like I was so smart or so cunning or so cool or whatever, but, you know, you're looking at a guy that the power that works in my life, I never went to prison. Never got shot, stabbed, no tattoos, no nicknames, no identifiable marks, etc., etc. You know? So there must be a reason for that. There must be a reason for that. And I'm still searching for that. And I believe this program is providing me a vehicle to get to where the power of my life wants me to be. So back to this whole discussion, you know, the chicken or egg, the dope or the insanity. And we like to talk about, and thank you, Sharifa, for she closes hard, doesn't she? You know, grow up or die? Come on now. Man. Come on. It's kind of that thing that, you know, I hear in meetings sometimes people are like, well, you know, I was young when I came in. Well, so was I. Everybody that comes in this program was young because the day that I got clean, I was saying like, is that it? Is it over? I was young. You know, I thought I had more time out there. But that was it. So the deal about that is that we are not a substance-specific thing here, okay? We're not. Sometimes people ask me, well, what was your DOC? What was your drug of choice? What's that mean? If you got in a car and you ever got out, you are out. That's what that means. That's what that means. And so, like, through happenstance, I went to one of those places where you get a lot of rest and people talk to you. They're real nice to you, give you clean sheets, a place to lay down. And you go to meetings, you know, like, and then you go to sleep and they check to make sure you're still in the bed and you get up and do it over again. I lasted 9 days. On day one, I told them that you couldn't help me, everybody that I could talk to. And on day nine, they agreed. That was it. That was it. Because I was nuts before I got there. And what I later became aware of is that I was not self-obsessed, totally self-obsessed. Totally. That meant when you got in the car with me, this is what it means. When you're in my life at that time, when you're in my life, I'm going to take everything from you. Now, a lot of times that did not, my friend's in here somewhere, I hope, talks about the dry bag, putting on that face, and, you know, that kind of tear comes down, you know, to get what I want. You know, getting real sight, real mopey. What's wrong, baby? What's the matter? Sometimes it was like that, and sometimes it was more extreme. But I'm going to take everything you got. I'm taking everything you have spiritually, emotionally, physically. I'm taking that for me, okay? I'm taking that for me, and that's the condition that I lived as long as I can remember. That's how I lived my life. That's how I lived as a 3- and 4-year-old kid. That's how I lived. I'm taking it. And I figured out a way, kind of intuitively, I figured out a way to take everything from everybody that I ever came in contact with. So you talking to me about a drug of choice has nothing to do with my condition and actually me getting any better. Okay? Me stopping using and realizing that my inability to stop using drugs once that I start is a symptom of the problem was very beneficial because I couldn't remember anything. I couldn't remember anything. And I was the kind of addict, I came and sat in the rooms, and I sat and I sat and I sat and I kept using until the desire to stop using, the desire to use was removed from me. And you guys did that. So if you're new and you're struggling with this using thing, keep coming back. Keep coming back. We used to talk about how we'll mess up your high forever. And that's the honest truth. That's the honest truth. I wasted a whole lot of money trying to disprove that theory. I took a whole lot of risk trying to disprove that theory. The desire to use substances was removed from me. I don't know where it went. And that wasn't my deal. See, I'm real grateful. I never tried to stop. I hear people share, and my heart goes out to them. You know, many days, months, years go into this process of stopping. I never did. I didn't see that was a problem. Because my life was based on taking from you, society, or anything that I came in contact with. I'm going to take it from you. So Narcotics Anonymous exposed and pulled my covers. They say, hey, now we got you. Let's deal with the real deal. You're totally self-obsessed. You're totally self-obsessed. I had no positive concern or thinking about anyone before I got clean and worked some steps in this program. Anyone. And that's a condition that, I don't know, maybe from birth. I had a running partner, man. We ran hard, and he was a school teacher. I'd rather get paid once a month, man. We spent all that, run through that money. And one time, it was field day. Got paid on Friday. Didn't have any money on Monday. He couldn't buy his kids tennis shoes to run in field day, which he promised them. You know what he did? He stopped using that day. That was 20 years ago. I ain't never been to a meeting. Don't go to church. Don't pray. Don't eat fruit. How the hell can he do that? And I can't. Because he doesn't suffer from what I suffer from. I suffer from the disease of addiction, which affects every area of my life. Every. Okay, that's a big word. We got some big words in the program, like every and all. You know? Any. What do you mean, any? It's crazy. It's crazy. So these steps have allowed me to uncover, and what Cherie's IP and that topic of trial of self-obsession talks about, the heartbeat of my insanity lies somewhere in the center of that triangle. Okay? And the process of the steps and close identification with you guys in this program starts to strip away layers of that. And the italicized words that I'm going to get to reading this a little bit, because these words are very important to me. Because I've been accused of being a literal person, and everybody gets it in different ways. But I know that the way that my life works is that each time I go through the words of steps and each time I go through the words of the basic text, they mean different things to me. Kind of like those old iridescent suits. You know? Go this way, kind of olive this way, you know? Yeah. Funny how that works like that. Always meets me exactly where I am. Crazy stuff. So, you know, when we adapted this thing to work for us, it does work for us, and this room being full is proof of that. It's proof of that. And we stand here, we stand and sit here together based on who we are. And the real deal is that that tired old lie that once an addict, always an addict is dead. And I'll just paraphrase this. In the beginning of the text, it starts talking about perhaps the last to be lost to freedom is the stigma of being an addict. Now, when I was new, what that meant was my auntie, my sister, my kids always had something on me. They was always looking at me crooked, right? They always, you know, they were waiting for that next shoe to drop in some kind of way. And as I matured in this program, in the work of this program, I knew that that's what I was thinking about myself. That's what I was thinking about myself. You know, that griminess, that dirtiness. I kept carrying that. You know? But we have a process of releasing that. And for me, I can honestly say it was probably 14, 15 years in this program when that really started to strip away. I got involved in and had been involved in service, but I was doing service for all the wrong reasons. I was still doing service to get what you got. Come on now. That was in me. It was like at a molecular level, at a DNA level, you know? And I can still find it, you know? The residue of that stench isn't far away. It's not far away. But there is hope because I know that it's dissipated. And I've seen that in my life, and I've seen that in my family. I've seen that in my community. I've seen that in the people that I come in contact with. And I've seen that in my action in relationship to society. I'm going to tell you something. Every city has a vicious police department.
Yes.
Every city.
Yes, they do.
Okay? Now, this is me. My butthole don't get tight when the police come behind me. Okay? Period. Clean, dirty, coming from church, got my grandmama in the car. It don't matter. That's an internal reaction that I had. I got stopped for the one a day folks in Colorado. One a day, they kill one every day. They keep killing them. And see, what is so ridiculous? They keep killing the same person. They kill the same dude every day. Every day they kill the same. I find somebody different to kill. But every day, boom, they hit me. And you know what? I pulled over. I was wrong. They wrote me a ticket longer than the Declaration of Independence. And I did not have that internal reaction to that interaction. I didn't have it. I said, wow, that's a trip. I'm a citizen. I'm a citizen. You know, that was a trip for me. So like, it says in here, and I'll read this because it's like, this is a really cold statement. It says, even periods of abstinence, freedom is curtailed. We are never quite sure if any action is based in a conscious desire for continued recovery or an unconscious wish to return to using. You know, walking on eggshells in this program. This program is based on faith and reliance on a higher power. And I'm no different than anybody in this room. I walked around talking about I can't do this, I can't do that, I can't say this, I can't think that. Because I don't know, that's going to take me to, and my friend really hates this, you know. We used to throw around and say, man, you're in relapse mode, man. He really hates that. But there's something to that. There's something to that. Because until I developed a real faith that Narcotics Anonymous was where I was supposed to be, I was properly diagnosed, and what was available here was all that I needed to resolve that dilemma, you know, with or without, the with or without. Wow. Wow. And so I'm clean today, and that dilemma sometimes come up today. Because my life is changing. I'm growing. I'm still living. I mean, it's just such a wonderful thing. And that what we talk about in our symbol, if you notice, at the top of that symbol, at the top of that triangle, it says freedom. It don't say freedom from, freedom to. It just says freedom, not hey, I want that, you know. It's like maybe the program would be easier to understand if it said sex. I want that, you know. But I want freedom, and I have a lot of freedom in my life today. And I have a lot of freedom in my life today because of something that's found in the action of the steps and something that's carried forward in my life. It's called creative action. That I can actually have a thought, go to a place, do a thing, do no harm, and return and not take everything they got. Unreal. Unreal. So that's what this IP was speaking about, that, hey, me being here is not based on my last get high. Okay? It's based on a hell of a lot more than that. A lot more than that. And I just say to anyone within earshot, hey, I like that song too. But anyway, it's like, work the steps. Work the steps of Narcotics Anonymous. Believe, just because I believe that this thing works. It works. To the best of my ability and to the best of all our abilities, and to take these spiritual principles and practice them in all our affairs. I've had an opportunity to participate in politics. Can you imagine me on the PTA, on a CDM? Can you imagine me doing that? You know, I was a pretty good ball player. Had a good friend of mine come and say, man, I want you to help me with the team. I said, well, yeah, what you want me to do, man? He said, no, I want you to sit and talk to these young men about their academics and what they want to do in life. Can you believe that? You know? I have a couple of kids that haven't been affected by this this disorder up to now. They're well into life, young women doing their thing, in their careers, well-educated. You know, so all these things are available to us here. All these things are available to us here. And it's about the creative action. Because, see, I didn't know, and I had a sponsor that he was so brilliant. He said, look, I might not know the answer, but I tell you what, I bet you if we sit down together and employ some of these other people in this program, we can figure it out. Are you willing to try it? Are you willing to give it a shot? Looking at my record, I'm saying, please. Please, look at my record, man. I'm a mismanager's mismanager. You know, Cherise is talking about problems. Shoot, my problems got problems. You know? But you guys told me if my spiritual needs are met, my problems would be reduced to just another day. Just another day. So I stand here with a lot of freedom. I stand here happy to be able to come and share this convention. I'll share with you that my connection with this area is strong, and I appreciate all the people that I've met here that made me feel at home. I had a mom after a long illness and being in the hospital. She was here in the hospital about 15 months and 8 days in a coma. And I still live in Denver and travel back and forth to basically sleep with her. Come to the hospital, get in that chair, hang out for a few days, and go back home, go to work. Sleep with her. And I'd talk to her, you know. But it was just one of those things. And see, you're looking at a guy that... not based on anything other than what I've learned in this program, it came to a point where I requested, along with the agreement with my sister, that she be removed from life support. She didn't die. I said, interesting. She did better without life support. She did better without life support and lived on. So decisions like that, the real critical decisions that I had to make early in this program, you know, am I matching? You know? Am I matching? You know? Taking, you know, the meeting, before the meeting was going through the closet. I don't know about you guys. These shoes match these pants? Yeah. To the more difficult decisions in life. I remember my daughter, she got ready to go to college, and she wanted to go to New York real bad, and she eventually did that, but She was a senior the year that 9/11 went down. And I'm saying, look, babe, they got some. You got some offers in Utah. You got a school in Arizona that really wants you to come. And, you know, and I just had to have faith in what I believe. What I believe, and I'm in a circle of goodwill, compassion. You know. All the things that I never even dreamed of. I never dreamed of that stuff. You know? Supporting, lifting, helping somebody. Wow. You know? And it all boils down to this. I must be able to translate the action taken right here in service in our program, right here, into my home, with my neighbor, in the traffic, to my boss when he don't pay me. And I, you know, Cherie, something else, and we parallel in this way. See, I'm always unemployed. I'm a contractor, so, you know, unless I have a job, I don't have a job. So I'm unemployed all the time, pretty much. You know what I'm saying? And it's not a difficult life. It's not a difficult life, you know. It's not a difficult life. So I don't know how I'm doing on time. How am I doing? 5? 10? Oh, man, I'm talking fast. Okay. Okay. Don't say that. Often it means for me to listen to the hunches and intuition that comes over a period of time, that today I'm able to take healthy risks, you know? I'm the guy, okay, here's a risk for you. How healthy is this? About 19 years old, I'm driving from Denver to Colorado Springs, pick up a hippie. He tells me about a place, an abandoned railway station, and draws me a map and tells me the price of the thing, which is like I could get 10 times that in Denver, and I steal my mom's car the next weekend, drive the 1,100 miles to El Paso, go into the heaviest today, and it wasn't really friendly then, but I speak no Spanish, you know. Go in, see, because the deal was I could get it even cheaper if I went myself. So I go in, and I'm crossing back the border with an illegal substance with everybody else that's trying to come to America for freedom. Now, this was based on a map drawn on a paper sack from a dude I didn't know. I found him more than once. Now, that is not a healthy risk. That is not a healthy risk. And I've learned today, and I have people in my life that do all kinds of different things, and I take healthy risks today. You know, I've learned how to invest my emotions wisely. You know, that whole, hey, you guys, ladies too, thank you. That whole thing about let's take it slow. You remember that lie?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I know how to take it slow. I know how to take it slow. I know how to take it slow. And that's just based on some experience around this program and finding out who I am, and more than anything else, developing a little humility in my life based on my relationship with this mysterious thing that keeps getting me up every day to do the thing that I'm not quite sure what I'm supposed to be doing, but I'm trying the best that I can, you know? So it's been a beautiful journey, and I'll close by saying this. I don't need all these 5 minutes. I was a newcomer, and I did a geographic because my wife at the time, I didn't feel like she was treating me right. And so I went to Boston, and I had about zero days clean. And they were organizing a bus trip to a far-off place called Ocean City. What's this Ocean City all about? What's this Ocean City all about? I got zero time, right? Zero. Because when the meeting would stop, I would go and get a half pint and drink whiskey around the barrel with the fire in it, right? We're in Boston. And then another meeting started, I'd go back into the meeting. Right? Alcohol is a beverage, right? Okay. So anyway, I never thought, and that was Ocean City 1. Here I am, Ocean City 25. You know, what an honor. So thank you so much for letting me share. Enjoy the rest of the convention.